In St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he says that we are to live not just knowing about the Holy Spirit, but to live in the Holy Spirit, to live by the Holy Spirit, to live through the Holy Spirit. And that if we're living a life of the Holy Spirit, it should be obvious to other people. I shouldn't have to tell people I'm a Christian. They should know by the way I treat others, by the way I talk. And so he says there are fruits, there's obvious evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. And we're just going to pray. See, we receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit at confirmation. But again, God never goes against our will. So the Holy Spirit that we've received, we want to ask God, give God permission for the Holy Spirit to run wild in our lives. Like any good gift that is given, we have to open it. And so we ask God that you would open the graces of our baptism. The grace is given in confirmation. We know that God always gives his best. So now we ask to receive and to open and that he would unleash and unpack those gifts. What we're going to do now is each member of the team is just one at a time just going to share about one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They're going to share for about a minute or two. And then if you want to pray for that fruit, to pray for that gift in your life, I just invite you to raise your hand. And then we'll pray together through a song. And if you're not raising your hand, just pray for the people that are. Extend your hands to the people that are. We raise our hand as an outward expression with our bodies of the inward reality of what our hearts are saying to God. God, we want your gifts. We want your Holy Spirit. We give you permission because you never go against our free will. So we say yes.
First fruit of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to share about is the fruit of peace. And I don't know about you guys, but this world can be kind of a chaotic place. There can be a lot of times where we just feel like we're not at rest. There can be a lot of times where we feel like we're just being pushed from one thing to another. There can be a lot of times where we feel like we're... It's like we're preparing for the next moment, but then when the next moment comes, we're already preparing for another moment. There's never like just calm and peace. Couple of things I want to say about that. One, real peace comes when you take the issues in your life that that cause you chaos and you deal with them. There's a difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. You know, sometimes we try to keep the peace because, you know, we have all these different things going on in our life, so we just don't say anything. We let things happen that shouldn't happen. We allow ourselves to be in relationships that we shouldn't be in. We let people tell us to do things that we shouldn't do. And we keep the peace for a moment. But then in our hearts, there's turmoil and chaos because we didn't face the real issue. And so what I want to say about peace is being a peacemaker sometimes means that we have to push and do things that might be difficult to get rid of the things that are not of God in our lives. And sometimes those things can be really, really difficult. But I promise you, if you do that and you step up and you make that choice, peace will come to you because you'll be able to rest in God. Amen. So I just want to invite you right now, if you're somebody who is experiencing chaos in your life, whether it be with addictions or relationships or people pushing you around or whatever it is, and you need prayers, raise your hand right now. Raise your hand up so people can see. And the people who are around you, extend hands and we'll pray over you. Just sing this with me. Holy Spirit, come. Say that with me before we sing this. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Bring us peace.
So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of...
One more time, set a fire.
So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
The virtue I want to speak about is the virtue of patience. And patience enables us to suffer well without responding with anger. And I think for many of us, we struggle with impatience because from a very young age, whenever we've felt something like agitation or rejection or shame or we've been scared, we turn to things that become escape behaviors. So when I feel agitated, when you feel agitated or upset or emasculated or rejected, what is that thing that you turn to? Netflix, porn, Candy Crush, I don't know what it is, but it's like instead of dealing with that tension or the tedium of daily life, we want to escape out of it to something that will distract us from that moment. And if we've been doing that from a young age, we come to a point where we find ourselves, when that distraction might be gone, that there's parts of our heart and our soul and our brain that are very immature because we haven't learned how to deal well with suffering. And so that's not something for us to be ashamed about. I struggle with impatience, and I know from a young age I turned to porn. And so when I stopped looking at porn, I remember just like, I don't know how to handle these negative emotions because in the past I would just turn to that thing. And so I don't know what that thing is for you, but let's pray that the Lord will enable us when we are feeling just bored and irritated and whatever, not to escape, but just to sit in it and to say, Lord, give me the grace to suffer well. If you have, if you want to pray for this, like put your hand up and we'll pray for you.
So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
The fruit of the Holy Spirit that I want to talk about this morning is chastity. Chastity is a virtue, a habit of doing the good that is all about respect. Respect for yourself, your family, your friends, somebody who's cute, has a little potential. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, your future spouse if you get married one day, your future kids if you have children one day. It's about respect for everybody in your world because it's about respect for sex itself. Chastity says that sex is a good thing. It is sacred and holy. Chastity is a yes to God's plan for sex and our sexuality. So when we're living the virtue of chastity, we're saving sex and all sexual things for marriage. And it's a lifelong virtue. It's for all vocations. So if you get married one day, chastity is for you. If you become a priest or a nun one day, chastity is for you. If you are hashtag forever alone, chastity's for you, okay? It's for all of us because it's a lifelong virtue and it brings us freedom. And chastity is not about the past, it's about the present and the future. So anybody at any time can make a decision that they want to live the virtue of chastity and they can live it for the rest of their lives. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done or said or seen or worn, you can choose chastity today and live it from this day forward. And since chastity is a virtue for all of us, no matter our vocation, I hope all your hands go up. Because none of us have lived this virtue perfectly and we all need help with it. But the Holy Spirit can strengthen us to respect God's plan for sex and our sexuality. So let's pray for that now.
So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
The first fruit that St. Paul speaks about when he speaks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit is the fruit of love, which first of all is a gift that we receive from our Heavenly Father, that we receive the gift of belovedness. That, again, one of the lies that sometimes we can live out of is the fact that I am unlovable. And so the fruit of the Holy Spirit, when he comes into us, bestows that belovedness that God wants to give to us and then draws us out of ourself so that then I can go and love others and actually believe that I have something to offer them, that God has created me as a gift for other people and that I am worthy of receiving the gift of other people's love as well. And so if you feel like you're in a place in your life where you just need to be sealed and reaffirmed in that gift of belovedness and the belief that you have something to offer other people and that you are worthy of receiving from them, raise your hand and have your friends pray over you.
So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
So once upon a time, a younger monk goes to an older monk and is like, I've been praying for years. I've been trying to live out this faith, but I don't feel like anything's changing. I don't feel like I've grown. And the older monk says, see that dirty bucket over there with holes in the bottom of it? I want you to pick that up.
Okay.
I want you to run to that river. It's about 100 yards away. I want you to fill up water and bring it back to me. And he's like, is this going to be on YouTube? So he goes and fills up the water, and sure enough, it's like, over and over again. He tries to fill this bucket up with water, and before you know it, even before he's halfway there, the water is gone, and he's just getting so frustrated. About an hour later, he comes to the older monk and says, what was that about? Think you're funny? The older monk says, it's frustrating, isn't it, when you don't think anything's changing? But I want you to notice the bucket. What do you notice about it? Oh, it's not dirty anymore. It looks new. You see, sometimes faithfulness to prayer, faithfulness to saying yes to the right things, faithfulness to saying no to the wrong things, whether people are watching you or whether they're not watching you, whether you're at school or in the private of your home, faithfulness, friends, we all need that grace. So that we continue running this race, even when we feel like nothing's changing, it is. Because God is at work, amen? So if you feel like you need the gift of faithfulness, raise your hand so we can pray for that.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Joy. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is often out of our control, right? Happiness depends on something that changes. Right, I'm going to be happy when this happens, or I'm happy because I got this thing. And so happiness changes from day to day. You can wake up happy. You might not wake up happy. It's really not your fault. It's really not even your decision. But joy is different. Because happiness hangs on changing things, but joy is locked on the unchanging love of God. The saints' lives were marked with joy, not because good stuff kept happening, but because the God they were connected to remained faithful, and he was unchanging. If you need prayer for joy, if you want that unchanging certainty that's based on God and not on anything or anyone else that gives us hope, if you want joy over happiness, joy over your life. Just invite you to raise your hand and let's pray together.
So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
We're just going to do something a little bit different now. What we really want to impress upon you is that praying for the Holy Spirit is not something that we do once a year at Steubenville Conference. It's something, as Paul said, that we should be doing multiple times every day. One of the graces and the gifts of being baptized is that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, that He dwells in us. It's crazy. So we have this ability and this power because of our baptism that we can pray for and with each other. So what I want to invite you to do, it's just a really simple three-step process right now. You're going to turn to one or two other people near you, and you're going to say, this is my name. This is one thing I'd like prayer for. And then let the other person just say, dear God, bless my friend Paul. Help him to be even more awesome than he already is. Or whatever the person asks for prayer. It's not a complicated formula. You don't need to impress God with your words. Just say the person's name, what they ask you to pray for, and say, dear Holy Spirit, please fill so-and-so with the gift of whatever. And as you're asking for prayers, this isn't like, you know, tell us your darkest secret. This is, you can be as specific or as vague as you want. God knows what you're talking about. This is just an exercise in stepping out of our comfort zone to say, Holy Spirit, you've promised. Jesus promised that whatever we ask in His name, we will receive from the Father. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, confidently as God's children. So just turn to one or two people near you. And if there's three of you, then obviously take turns. One person goes first and says, here's my name. Here's what I want prayers for.